This is the Shoot Once Podcast. I'm Frank Walker. Welcome back to the Shoot Once Podcast, everyone. Again, now a proud member of the Hockey Podcast Network family. Quick matter of housekeeping I want to make clear before we continue on. I misspoke on the last episode as far as the schedule of how shows were going to go. So how this works, most of the time, by the time you're hearing me, there'll be a bit of a delay on it. The show will appear, essentially each episode premieres on the Hockey Podcast Network on its feed on Mondays and Thursdays. And then it will release, the Shoot Once Podcast will release in its own feed, the one that, if you're kind of a legacy listener at this point, you'll get that the day after. So Tuesdays and Fridays are how those are going to go. So a little bit of a delay on there, but again, this show, as we always talked about, normally it's not as much about game to game and more about, kind of the big picture on the team and what's going on. But it's exciting, guys. We're in opening night. As I'm recording this, the opening night games are going on. I've got them DVR'd, so I'll get to them when I'm done setting up the show here for this week, or for this episode here. But I'm really excited. The Blue Jackets have two big ones right off the bat. Friday, home against Toronto. Saturday, at Pittsburgh. And then Monday, we have the game home against Buffalo there. So it's going to be an exciting opening week there. The reason I cap those three is those are the three that will happen between now and then. And it's, we talked about this a little bit on the last show. It's going to be the kind of thing where we just don't know what's going to happen till we get there. We're not real sure how this is going to happen. It's kind of a experiment as this happens. The Blue Jackets released the opening day roster. We've cut down to 23 guys. The surprises on it, I would say, are that Jakob Liljá and Emil Bemström made the team. Not that I don't think they have talent. It's just that those are the kind of guys where they come into camp and we're not sure. And it's interesting to see how the Blue Jackets have constructed the roster this year, because on the defense, they sent Andrew Peak back down to the Cleveland Monsters, where a lot of people thought Peak might make the team coming out of camp. But when you look at who did make it coming out of camp, with the exception of Ladislav Garikov, most of these guys have had significant NHL team time. Obviously, Seth Jones, Scott Harrington, Zach Werenski, Ryan Murray, Dean Kukin, David Savard, and Marcus Nudavara. And most of them have played at a pretty high level. I mean, there's three really good pairs in there. Maybe even a fourth. Who knows? I mean, that's the thing. This defensive grouping is deep. And I think you can kind of see the balance there on how they're going to play this. I think they went with eight strong defensemen, knowing that we're not sure how the goalie position is going to play out for this year. Because Tortorella has said that Jonas Korpisalo is going to start opening night. Now, does that mean that Elvis Merzlikins gets his first NHL start against the Penguins the next night, since it's a back-to-back? I don't know. Torts has shown a propensity in the past to be fine with letting a goalie play back-to-back. But there are three back-to-backs in the first 3 weeks. Friday and Saturday, the first 3 weeks of the season, there's back-to-backs. So it's going to be tricky to figure out where Elvis is getting that first start. Now, honestly, it could be Saturday. It could be Monday night. We won't know until we get there where this is going, because it's such an interesting situation as far as these goaltenders go. Because Jonas Korpisalo had a great time when he was his first real playing time in the league. And it's going to be where I've seen Jonas go with this. It's going to be a different story when he's the starter, because that's the thing. Right now, he is kind of getting, especially with the opening night start, he is getting dubbed as, you're the guy. You are the primary guy for what's happening for this season. And I don't know if he'll prepare differently. Hopefully not. You always like that idea in sports that the backup prepares like they're starting. But we'll see. I'm personally, because we've seen Jonas on this team for so long, And he could always surprise me. Players always surprise you. I mean, that when the Philadelphia Flyers traded Sergei Bobrovsky, they obviously didn't know what he was. So a player can always surprise you. But it feels like we've seen what Jonas Korpisalo has to offer, which is in some games he'll play really well, some games and not so much. But then again, that's being a goalie in the NHL. I feel like with Elvis, there's some potential there. And this feels like the year to go for some potential, especially with since we've got just young guys all over this team. It's amazing how this team seems to always get younger. So I'm excited to see what happens with opening night, with that opening weekend. Does Elvis play right away? I'm not sure. I hope he does because I want to start seeing Elvis. That's a big thing for me. I want to start seeing what he does. But the opening schedule is going to be weird as a Blue Jackets fan because, again, so many Friday, Saturday night games that you're going to have big chunks of the week with no hockey. I personally like having a hockey game about every third day to watch, which, I mean, we'll have Friday, Saturday, and then Monday, so one day off, and then three straight days, then until Friday. So we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes as this all progresses and as things set up here. But the other point I wanted to make about the opening night roster, it feels like, because there were a couple of decisions to make when you're going with opening night. I mean, you could have stuck with Marco Dano. I mean, we talked a little bit about Marcus Hannikainen on the last episode and that he went down. But it feels like the decision was made that the Blue Jackets are saying, you know what, if we're going to err, instead of erring on having too many big guys and playing tough hockey, let's err on having too many skill guys at forward so that we can try and score more goals. Like, it's almost as if they're playing into the idea of, yeah, our forwards are going to score goals, our defensemen are going to try and stop them. I mean, obviously, we all know it's a five, you know, it's a whole unit each time you're doing anything on the ice. But it feels like they think goal scoring is going to be a problem, which it could be this season. So we'll see where it goes from there. Now, the other things I wanted to discuss on this week's show, there's a couple of Blue Jackets players for which this season is a huge deal, for who this is. You know, we're really just kind of in the point where this is a make or break kind of year for them. Now, the first one I want to talk about is Brandon Dubinsky. And this was a discussion that I've had with some people on Twitter and that I've wanted to, and it's just speculation on my part, but the idea here is that we are probably looking at a situation. For those of you who are not aware, Brandon Dubinsky had another injury to his wrist, the same one he had surgery on last year that caused him to miss some time. And apparently the club has declared that he's out indefinitely, so we really don't know when we're going to see Brandon Dubinsky again. In my mind, part of this saying he's out indefinitely is the team saying, let's give him some time to think about this. Now, I'm not sitting here and saying I'm calling right now that Brandon Dubinsky is going to retire, but where we're at, Brandon Dubinsky is on the far side of 30 there. He's getting to the point where he's had a few years of kind of diminishing returns as a hockey player. He plays hard. I mean, he's 33. He plays hard. He's a good player. I mean, he works hard for the team, but he hasn't been a goal-scoring threat in a lot of ways. He's very much been a fourth-line grinder. And you kind of wonder if, as the Blue Jackets, if they're going to sit down and talk to them, and it's this discussion of take some time, think about what you want to do. In the sports landscape, the biggest story with this recently, if you don't follow professional American football, sorry, but the quarterback Andrew Luck, who retired as potentially one of the top five quarterbacks in the league. The man had a bunch of money left on the table. But he retired because, if you don't know the story of Andrew Luck, he missed two seasons ago. He missed the whole season with an injury. Last season, he came back, was NFL player, comeback player of the year, looked great. And then this year had some weird ankle issue that became a calf issue, and then nobody really knew what it was. And he decided to hang it up. And his point on it was, so much, it was just becoming rehab after rehab, and he didn't have, he just wasn't enjoying it anymore. And maybe that's what the team's looking at with Brandon Dubinsky. And it may, you know what, maybe in his mind, he's like, nope, I'm going to work. I'm going to come back from it, or maybe not. But in my mind, this is kind of that. This is the big story for Brandon Dubinsky. And if somebody can get in his head or somebody wants to talk to him and let us know, I would appreciate it so we have a general idea what he's looking at. So from the roster building standpoint of if Brandon Dubinsky said, you know what, I want to retire. First of all, if he took it as retirement, so looking at Brandon Dubinsky, where he's at on cap friendly and on the Blue Jackets salary cap, he makes $5.85 million. Now, right now, he's on the injured reserve. So it's not the same, really, as being buried, but it's right now he's on injured reserve, so he's not taking up the roster spot. So it, as far as what it does to the team, if he retires here, apologize, folks, just taking a... So if we get to the end of Brandon Dubinsky's contract and he decides that he's where we're at right now, he's only got 2 years left on it. So you're really in a place, and the Blue Jackets didn't really front load this deal or anything like that. So it wouldn't create an issue as far as recapture or anything like that. I mean, he's actually had a higher base salary in his final years of the deal. So my guess is that if he were to decide he were done, the Blue Jackets would look at something like long-term injured reserve, where that would create in-season salary cap savings for the Blue Jackets. So it's an interesting concept. We'll see where it goes. And again, this could all go moot if in a month Brandon Dubinsky says, yep, I'm, you know, rehabbing and I'll be back on the ice after Christmas or something. Because we really don't know at this point what's going to happen. But it's just kind of that long-term thinking on it of, I mean, where we're at as a team, too, for the Blue Jackets, there's just not a lot of spots for him to fit left. I mean, we're into the point where he's become kind of just a fourth-line player, and the Blue Jackets have plenty of guys who can play on the fourth line and are definitely better than that in a lot of situations. So it's going to be interesting to see where that goes. Now, the other player who's definitely in a make-or-break year is Alexander Wennberg. We talked about this a little bit on the last episode. Since then, there was a great piece Portsline put out on The Athletic about it, talking about how, I mean, he's shooting more, like he shot more in four preseason games than he did in the whole month of October last year. Where in four preseason games he shot 11 times, in 11 games last year in October he only shot 10 times. In that, it seems like this season Wennberg really took it upon himself to try and keep the puck on his stick and try and score more. And that has been the big hit against him. Now, whether he can do this, I don't know. I hope he can. That's the thing. He is one of those players where it was just so frustrating to see what happened. Because I know in his rookie year, he had an okay season. And then in his next season, he doubled his goals and assists. It was quite incredible. But then this last year, he didn't score a goal after February 5th. He was a scratch in the whole Tampa Bay series. And now this is a player that's going right back on the ice and that it feels like we need as a second line center. This is the player who is going to, if he doesn't step up, it will really show how much this team will miss Matt Duchene. In the brief time he was a Blue Jacket. So it's just he's one of those players to watch over these first few games to see what he does. Not necessarily that he scores. That's something to remember when you're watching a hockey game. Something we do as sports fans a lot is we get wrapped up in the result and not how we got there. And so in these first few games, when you're watching this weekend, so when you're watching them play Toronto and Pittsburgh and Buffalo, and I'm kind of happy we're seeing two really good teams right off the bat like Toronto and Pittsburgh, because it's going to get us a chance to see what these guys are really doing. If we see Alexander Wennberg hanging onto the stick and trying to score, that's going to be a good sign. That's going to be a good sign of what's going to happen. Now, is that going to translate into scores? I hope so. I mean, last year in the World Championship, he had three goals, seven assists in six games with Sweden. Now, again, when you're playing the IIHF World Championships, obviously you're going against a lower level of talent, but you tend to play a lot of guys are NHL caliber or, you know, borderline NHL guys who are there. So it's a positive. I think there's reasons to feel good about what's happening with Alexander Wennberg. So I'm excited to see it. I'm looking forward to it here. And one of the things I wanted to do as a little exercise to get us ready for these games starting on Friday. Ooh, it's starting on Friday, folks. There's games on right now, and I'm missing them because of you people. All right, let's take a look and see what... So the last thing I wanted to touch on, and I know I'm borrowing heavily from Portsline in this episode, but he did some good work this week. I know a lot of people on Twitter don't like Aaron Portsline, but you know what? I like him quite a bit. I think he's a pretty good beat reporter and does some good stuff. He put out a cool little article, 10 bold predictions for the Blue Jackets this season. And what I'm going to do, I'm not going to spoil the whole thing for him, but I'm going to go through the 10 real quick and just talk about, am I on board or am I not on board? His line, goal scoring, not goaltending, will be the biggest issue. Maybe. I am very unsure about the Korpisalo Elvis Merzlikins thing, because as a sports fan, I have been a sports fan long enough to know, okay, so Jonas Korpisalo, again, what have we talked about? He's been up or down. Elvis Merzlikins, high-end prospect, looks like he could be great. I have been a sports fan long enough to know that it is somewhat foolish to think that a guy who's been up or down is all of a sudden going to become great. And I know that you can't count your chickens before they hatch when it comes to a prospect. You hope for the best. You try for the best. In the point of Elvis Merzlikins, this is a player who really played his hand as best he could for his own best shot. Since we've got all our fans from the Hockey Podcast Network who may not be aware, Elvis Merzlikins has been one of the top goaltenders in the Swedish Elite League. The Blue Jackets drafted him years ago. And I mean, it's not like he's an old dude. I think he's only 23 or 24, maybe 22. He's still pretty young. I mean, he's still an entry-level contract kind of guy. He kind of decided that he was either going to play in the Swedish Elite League, where he makes a good living and is a star, or the NHL. He was not going to come here to be in the AHL. And what he did when he came over last year, so after the Swedish Elite League season was over, he signed his entry-level contract with the Blue Jackets. And the way it was structured, because of how long he'd been a pro somewhere else, he essentially became a restricted free agent as soon as the season was over. And with that, he could bargain and say, I'm only going to sign a one-way deal. Now, the trick to that is, the reason he has that leverage is, Elvis Merzlikins is more than comfortable that if the Blue Jackets had said, no, we're going to sign you to a two-way deal, he would have said, fine, I'm going back to Sweden. He would have had no problem doing that and playing in the Swedish Elite League. So it's an interesting question as to what's going to happen here with the goaling. I am a believer, especially after how many years I've watched the Blue Jackets, that the depth on this team can get goal scoring happening. That you don't necessarily need a star to score a bunch of goals. If you have good depth at scoring, and between Cam Atkinson, Oliver Bjorkstrand, Pierre-Luc Dubois, and Josh Anderson, I think the Blue Jackets have the depth. And that, I mean, those are some of their bigger weapons, but the thing is, the Blue Jackets don't have a huge drop-off at any given point. They have a bunch of really good guys. I mean, other than Cam Atkinson, I don't know if I'd call anybody on their team like an offensive star. But then after that, again, you're getting into Seth Jones and Zach Werenski and some real good defenders. So I'm not that drive a lot of offense. So I'd have to disagree with Porty on this. I think goaltending will still be the biggest issue. Number two, Jarmo Kekäläinen will be a buyer again. What he's saying is at the trade deadline, he thinks the Blue Jackets will be on the border there, and that Jarmo is going to buy. I don't think that's true. Now, the Blue Jackets at the trade deadline might still be in it. In last week's episode, I mentioned that. I was like, we, as Blue Jackets fans, the kind of season you're wanting is one of those ones where come trade deadline, the Jackets are right in the mix still, and they could be an in-the-mix team this year. I don't think he's going to be buying. I mean, he traded a lot of picks last year, and Jarmo doesn't like trading picks. So, I mean, unless he gets something that makes a lot, like, I don't think you'll see what happened last year at all. Last year where he was paying, you know, trading for UFAs and stuff, that won't be happening. If he makes a trade this year, it won't be for a rental. That's what I'll say is my take on this. That's my take. If he trades, it won't be for a rental. His next one, rookie Alexander Tessier, will talk more crap than anyone. Tessier has a bit of a reputation as a player who, you know, might take that little extra jab after the whistle, might talk a little crap. I don't know. It sounds like something fun to keep an eye on. I can't say if that yes or no on that, but it sounds like I'm going to look forward to watching some Tessier. Number four on his list, Seth Jones, Norris Trophy winner. I want this to be true so bad. The thing is, I think he can be. And I think what the NHL awards do in a very weird way is it's so much more reputation. I mean, it's really tough. Like last year, compared to a sport we watch a lot down here in the States and in America, to compare it to the NFL, last year, Patrick Mahomes came out of nowhere, blew everyone away, became the MVP. That almost never would happen in the NHL. If you don't have a reputation, then you better have stats that blow people's minds. Seth Jones has been working his way into that conversation of the last couple of years. So this could be finally a year he wins it. I want it to be, because he could get that chance. Because the last few years, there's kind of been, like, Seth Jones has been kind of like, oh, he ranked fourth or fifth in the voting or sixth or something like that, where he's like right on the periphery, but he's not there. If he has one good year, and if this is a good year for him, especially now that there's no Bobrovsky behind him and he looks good and the Blue Jackets do well and he's playing well, yeah, he could definitely win it this year. And I'm going to throw another one in here that he didn't mention, and this just occurred to me today. If the Blue Jackets are at the trade deadline, and if the Blue Jackets sneak into the playoffs, and this is going to tick off some people so much, but if they do it, and I don't know if they will. Again, the odds are that they won't, but I think they have the depth that they might be able to be a sneaky team. And hockey's weird; it's so much luck. If they make the playoffs, John Tortorella is going to win Coach of the Year. He's going to win the Jack Adams again. Because here's the thing: here is the narrative that will go through hockey culture that would win it for him if they make it. You had a team last year that went in and swept for the Tampa Bay Lightning. And then you lost the two biggest names in free agency. You lost Artemi Panarin and you lost Sergei Bobrovsky. If you still make the playoffs, they're going to try and vote you for it. I think he could win it again. And it would be hilarious because there's a lot of people out in the world who hate John Tortorella. And if he won his third Jack Adams and his second with the Blue Jackets, it would be the funniest thing in the world. And I would love it. Anyway, lots of people disagree with me on that, but I think it'd be funny. If they make it, it's going to be hard to disagree with me that he won't win it. I'll say that. Number five, you'll love her, Elvis Merzlikins. You will. If you're a Blue Jackets fan, you're going to love him. If you're a fan of any team not in the Metro, you're probably going to love him because he seems like a lot of fun. He's a goofball. He is the... I'm trying to think what to compare him to, but he kind of does little dances, and he just has a good old time. So if he's any good at all, he's going to be a lot of fun to watch. Number six, Brandon Dubinsky will play less than half the season. If I had to take a bet, if you told me Brandon Dubinsky over or under 42 and a half games, or you just made it 42, I'd take the under. I am there that he will, if he does come back, it'll be a late in the season kind of thing. We'll see. this one would be huge. Number 7, Alexander Wennberg will score 50-plus points. The optimist in me wants to say yes. My logic is telling me no. I want to be wrong, but I don't think he will. I know I just had this thing about maybe he comes back, maybe he's good. And if he is, that solves a lot of problems for the Blue Jackets. And if he does do the 50-plus points, that scenario I talk about where the Blue Jackets are sliding into the playoffs somehow with that number 8 seed or whatever, or they're still in at the trade deadline, Wennberg scoring 50 points would be a big deal there. I just don't know if it'll happen. I can't say confidently that's going to happen. I know Porty labeled this bold predictions, so yeah. Number 8, brace yourself when the Blue Jackets face the Florida teams, of course. There's already talk that Tampa's probably going to try and blow the Blue Jackets out every time they play them because there's just going to be that extra edge to it. Obviously, every time the Blue Jackets play Bobrovsky, it's going to be heavy. It's going to be something else. It's going to be weird. That's just all I can say, especially if Florida comes to Nationwide. It would not surprise me if the Panthers find some way. And I'm not saying Bobrovsky would ask them to do this. I'm wondering if their coach would find some way if it's a back-to-back or something, or for them to find some way to say why Bobrovsky can't play in it. And I actually want to... I apologize, folks. Sometimes these these little interludes are because ideas come to me as we do the show, and I just kind of wonder about it. So the Panthers come to Columbus. Oh, that is too good. They come twice. One is in New Year's Eve, and then February 4th. Wow, that is something else. So I'm gonna take a quick look here. So what I really want to get a sense of is, are they going to have some built-in reason easily to be able to say, oh no, we're not going to play him in this game because of X, Y, or Z or anything like that. So I want to take a quick look at their schedule, see how that pops out there. All right, here we go. Getting this to load up. Okay, so that first game, they play Montreal two nights before at home. And then they have a game at Ottawa. So, I mean, there's not a back-to-back there, so it might be tough to explain it away. The next one, they'll be able to explain away easily if they can get away with the first one. Because February, they play the Blue Jackets on February 4th, which was a Tuesday, the night before they're in Toronto, which for them is a division game, so... It wouldn't surprise me to see that kind of... It's the second game it happened. The first one I'm interested in. Let's see if it happens at the first one. But I don't know what they'll do. The next thing he projected is that the Blue Jackets won't be shorthanded that much, which I don't know if that's a bold prediction or not. They're pretty good at not taking penalties. They're a really good team at not taking penalties, so... Hopefully they can keep that up. I mean, that's always a good thing. That being said, I also know they tend to have some of the fewest power plays in the league. So the Blue Jackets just play very strong 5-on-5 games. So let's hope they stay good 5-on-5. Number 10, goalie trade, which would be a best-case scenario. Some of these bold predictions are coming in with the idea that the Blue Jackets are hitting a best-case scenario. And what I mean by that is if there's a goalie trade... What that would indicate is that both Korpisalo and Merzlikins are showing that they can be starting goaltenders. And then the Blue Jackets have a chance to make a choice. Because here's the thing. Korpisalo or Elvis Merzlikins, because of the structure of that contract, is going to be an RFA again right after this season. And so is Jonas Korpisalo. Jonas Korpisalo will have arbitration rights. Elvis Merzlikins were not. They're both 25. Okay, so I made the mistake earlier in saying Merzlikins was as young as I thought he was. But they're both 25, so they're both young for goalies. They're both going to be RFAs. So it is something where the Blue Jackets could very much, it could very much make a, you know, they could be in a decision-making mode there. And I don't know if that'll happen. It would be, again, it would be the best case scenario. So I don't think it'll happen. I said before, if I had to bet on one of the two goalies to rise to the occasion and like really grab being a starter, I'd bet on Elvis. Because Korpisalo has now had 2-3 years playing at the NHL level and going up and down and kind of figuring out what he is. Mrazalinkas, this is his first year on North American ice. I'm not sure how quick that transition will be for him from the larger sheets in Europe to this. But if he can make that transition, I think he's got more of that natural talent to grab the job. And if he does, I can see the Blue Jackets, you know, you could deal Jonas. He could be part of a deal or something. Now, the downside to that is then you got to call somebody up and who knows, and we'll see what happens there. But the exciting thing is, folks, next time I talk to you, there'll be real hockey to talk about, which is the best. And I cannot wait. And I just, this season kind of seemed to sneak up on me a little bit, but I am so happy it is finally here. So I'm excited. I hope you're excited. If you haven't subscribed to the show yet on the Hockey Podcast Network, please do so. There's a lot of great shows there doing a lot of great work, and or at least just listen to mine. So thank you very much, and go Jackets. This has been the Shoot Once Podcast. Follow us on Twitter @ShootOncePod.